didn't see it coming, took us by surprise. The numbers, they were numbing. We lost so many lives. This COVID apparition, deadly and unseen. We knew it was obscene, and together we were swept away. Every night and every day, we were swept away. Thousands more you killed. Bank accounts were empty. Jobs just disappeared. Our lives were clearly ravaged. It was worse than we had feared. And together we were swept away. Every night and every day, we were swept away, swept away.
Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Dan Proud. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I've been a member of Prairie for 20 years. I currently serve on the board. I'm secretary of the society. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, though we recognize that we have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, family structure, age, or abilities. Since we don't have our name tags on, we'd like to invite you to add your pronouns to your name in Zoom. Introducing yourself with your pronouns is a great way to challenge the norm that these should be assumed and create space for everyone, no matter how they identify. If you don't know how to change or add your pronouns, instructions will be in the chat. And Renee has, I think we've all gone through this before. During our virtual coffee hour at the end of the service, we invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. And we will also have joys and concerns and then move. Oh, whoops, that's for something else, another Sunday. And it's possible that some people may like to continue with questions and dialogue with Christine Milovani, our speaker. We have a few announcements. You can see the order of service email to Prairie News for more links and information. Pardon me. Monday study group is at 7 p.m. Tuesday trivia is at 7:30. Thursday fun night this week is at 6:30. Everyone is welcome to attend. Advanced Virtual Dungeons and Dragons is Friday, and the Beginner Virtual Dungeons and Dragons is Saturday. Christine will read the opening words, and I will light the chalice. Chalice lighting is adapted from Reverend Andy Pakula.
So this is adapted from Reverend Andy Pakula. As we open our hearts this morning, may the chalice flame illuminate all that is beautiful and true. May the shadows offer the possibility for reflection and growth. May the seed of love be awakened by the warmth of compassion.
Now Christine will lead us in a silent meditation.
In planning the service, Dan requested an opportunity to offer time for reflection for the loss, resilience, and healing that is occurring from this past year in the pandemic. This felt appropriate as it is also Memorial Day weekend. And it is our hope that as we reflect on the lives lost to service in our country, that we also reflect on the lives lost during this global pandemic. Specifically, 3.5 million lives lost worldwide, 610,000 lives lost in the United States, and 7,800 lives lost in Wisconsin. I'm going to ring the bell in the beginning one time to start a silent meditation. And as we end, I will ring three bells. The first bell to bring attention, awareness, and compassion to ourselves, the second bell to bring awareness and compassion to our community, and the third to bring that awareness and compassion worldwide.
Did you want to introduce the story for all ages?
Sure. So we're going to be sharing a recording of a story that Kitty O'Mara did at the beginning of the pandemic. She wrote a poem and that was given some worldwide attention, and then it was turned into a story. So this is an animated version of that story. And Kitty O'Mara is from Wisconsin, and she's actually a chaplain that I worked with at Meritor Hospital years ago. So she's a good friend, and wanted to share this as it also fits into the theme of what we're doing today.
People stayed home. And they listened. And read books. And rested. Exercised and made art and played games.
Thank you for bringing that to us, Christine. Beautiful. It's been a great pleasure to meet Christine, and we found her through Rachel. So it's been you're in for a treat today. Today we will be doing an experiential reflection and discussion entitled "A Year Into the Pandemic." Reflecting on loss, healing, and resilience. Christine Milovani is our speaker. This relates to our second principle, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Christine Milovani is a licensed clinical social worker and owner of Healing and Balance LLC. She has been in private practice for 20 years and has worked in various community settings, hospitals, inpatient psychiatry, emergency services, outpatient clinics, behavioral health, and wellness centers. She specializes in trauma recovery by utilizing integrative somatic psychotherapy, somatic experiencing, meditation, and Qigong practices. That's Qigong practices. Christine, it's all yours.
All right, thank you. So, hi, my name's Christine Milovani. As Dan said, my pronouns are she and her. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be here today. And when Rachel first asked me if I would be interested and then Dan contacted me, it's been a really warm and welcoming journey to be part of your community for a period of time here. So thank you very much for including me today. So during this past year of the COVID global pandemic, we've experienced a lot. We've had profound impacts on all parts of our lives, both individually, in our families, as a community, and as a nation, and as a global society. Healing and resilience happen gradually over time as we're able to integrate our losses with new understandings and growth. Excuse me, I've got allergies. We might be cautiously optimistic right now for the possibility of reconnection with each other, and there does seem to be some hope emerging. It's nice to be in this place right now, looking back, rather than being in the thick of it. But we've all experienced so much, and we felt like it would be a good time to honor everything that's happened. And we may not have had deaths or some of the tragedies that have happened, but we've all experienced something during this time. And we wanted an opportunity to reflect on that, but also in my kind of practice and tradition to have a more embodied experience of that. So kind of including all aspects of ourselves as we reflect. And so today's format and what we're going to be doing is going to have a individual reflection and meditation and experience. And then we're going to move into just a brief check-in with each other in a small group of two. So we'll be put into a breakout room for that. And that's just going to be a quick, just letting everyone's voice be part of the process today. So you're just going to have like a 2-minute time to share something that you were reflecting on from today's experience. And then we're going to be zoomed back in after about 5 minutes total. And we're going to be part of a larger group discussion where we can then share as a group. And if that conversation wants to continue after the service is over, we can do that in the second part. So that's what we're going to be doing today. I also invite you, if you feel like you want to have paper and pen if you decide to write something down. And if I'm able to, I'm going to see if I can put in the chat. I'm not sure if that is working because I can't add to it.
Do you want to just read the question and I can type it in chat?
Well, when I get to them, if you'd like to, yes. And otherwise, okay. If we're able to add it later, or we can email the questions to
people.
So I wanted to go back to the words of Katie O'Meara and what she was saying in the end, which is kind of where we're emerging to at this point, which is when the danger passed and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses, they made new choices, and dreamed new images and created new ways to live. And so part of my curiosity for today is to remember so that we can integrate the losses that we've had, but also to remember that those losses bring growth and change and transformation. And so I'm wanting to invite that reflection and that intention into what we're going to do today. So there's a Buddhist saying that life is made up of 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows, and often they live side by side. So I have six questions. The first one, how have you experienced loss in this past year? It may have been loss through death, job changes, health, finances, loss of dreams or normalcy, or other changes in your life. And the next question is, how have you experienced joy in this past year? And the next question is, how have you been creative, innovative, or adaptive this year? And the next question, have you made any new choices or life changes in the past year? And the next question, did you learn anything new about yourself this year? And the last question, where have you found strength or inspiration in this past year? And so Renee has been adding these to the chat box so that you can continue to reflect on them, and that when you go into the small group and also in our larger group discussion, that they will be there for you to look at if you'd like to focus any of your responses or reflections on these questions. And as we now move into a meditation practice, it's going to be more of a kind of experiential somatic practice. And so I'd like us to bring our awareness to the kind of integration between strength and grief. And as we start, just a mind-body check-in, and just noticing how you're feeling in your body right now, maybe noticing any physical sensations, noticing what feels comfortable, maybe some areas that could be uncomfortable. Noticing your breath in your body. Bringing awareness to your thoughts. Just noticing that they're there without judgment. And being aware of your spirit or your energy system, and how that's integrating with you at this time. And then bringing your awareness to a part of your body that feels strong, connected, and alive. Imagine a color, a shape, or an image that you have that connects to this strength within you. Just becoming curious about this part of you and holding that image, shape, or color. And then next, notice a part of your body that might be holding loss or grief. And again, noticing a color, a shape, or an image that you can connect with this loss or grief within you. And now I invite you to gently move your awareness between the strength within you and the grief and the loss. Just gently pendulating back and forth a little bit, maybe a couple seconds on one, a couple seconds on the other. Just being aware of the image of one, the image of the other. And just noticing that they're both a part of you. They're part of your whole experience. And that we may find some strength or support in being able to hold them together. So whatever way feels right to you, just imagining that color, shape, or image of strength, that color, shape, or image of grief and loss. You may notice the sensations in your body, the sensation of strength and where that's located, and the sensation of grief and loss and where that's located. And just moving awareness between them, allowing yourself to hold and connect to the wholeness of your experience at this time. And just as you notice this, just be aware of what happens, what your experience is. There may be things that shift or change. Maybe they stay the same. And then just bringing your awareness back to the awareness of your whole body. Noticing your thoughts and your mind. Noticing your emotion. And noticing your energy system or spirit. Noticing the welcoming and integration of all parts of you. And then bringing your awareness more to the room that you're in. Maybe just looking around. Just allowing yourself to include the awareness of what's right in front of you and around you in your environment. And then beginning to orient to the people here that are with us on this call. And then we're going to be breaking out into small groups. And so we're going to have Renee move us into groups of two. And that's just going to be, again, for about 5 minutes, just to check in and share a little bit of your own experience of the reflection questions, anything we've talked about today, or the meditation. And then in 5 minutes, we'll come back in and join the larger group discussion. So go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, it'll take me a second. I'm actually going to pause the recording because it doesn't record breakout rooms anyway. So if it says something, that's what, sometimes it's now it's announcing recording stuff. So.
Welcome back, everyone. I wanted to have an opportunity for just a little bit more intimate connection with each other and sharing your thoughts from what's been going on. And want to now open that up to just a discussion as a larger group here. So I invite you, I don't know how you guys normally do this, but kind of if anyone has something that they want to share to raise your hand, unmute yourself, and we can kind of start a group conversation here.
We normally ask people to raise their hand in their camera, or there's like a virtual raise hand button, and then you can call on people.
Got it. All right, John, go ahead. Unmute yourself. John, we can't hear you. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we didn't have any loss of friends or family in the COVID. I guess the biggest loss was the loss of normalcy. I mean, I lost the normal day-to-day thing that we always did and meeting friends and stuff. And now, is it just getting right back into it, or is it going back into it a different way, a new normal? I haven't really thought about, well, now what do we do now that it's over? Do we just go back to the same restaurants, start doing this, or do we, is it all new?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hasn't been anything really striking, but it's there, it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mary, you had your hand up, I saw, and then Karen, I saw that you have yours up as well. Mary?
Where's Mary?
Oh, sorry, Patty?
Mary, okay. Patty? All right, I thought I unmuted myself. Anyway, something I didn't mention was how during the pandemic, at first I was getting too close to people and they were all backing away and saying something like, you know, don't get so close. And now I find I'm afraid to be closer to people, even though the, you know, we're, I'm all immunized and they are too. And so I think that's something I'll have to start working on.
Yeah. And then Karen, yep. And Barbara, you're next.
The question of what kind of normal I want to resume is really a big one for me, because I'm retiring right now, actually. I think I'm in my last week is coming up. And so not only are we coming out of the pandemic, but I'll have more time free. And so, you know, I have dreams of really regular exercise routines and a meditation practice, and not resuming lots of restaurant eating and carry out, but really, you know, continuing to cook our meals at home, and, you know, all kinds of things. And I have a little anxiety that it's not going to be as easy to do all those things as I have planned.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Barbara, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, the returning to normal. It's all through this, I kept saying, I really liked the not having so much to do, not being pulled in 50 directions, which if anybody, you know, most of the people here know me and know that I, you know, have my fingers in 50 different pots. And I really liked this last year plus of not feeling so pulled in so many directions. And now resuming, it's a decision of, like John was saying, what do I do? What do I eliminate? What, you know, how do I deal with this new freedom when I've really kind of enjoyed this semi-isolation?
Mm. Yeah.
Kent and Dan have virtual hands. Christine, I don't know if you see that.
Oh, no, like, I didn't.
If you look at their images, if you're in gallery view.
Yeah.
So if you want to call on.
Sorry, that does not. So Dan and Kent. So go ahead, Dan.
One thing I hadn't thought about at all until this exercise was any connection between my physical problems and the situation. I was exercising before, and I've had a chronic back problem for many years, but I wasn't able to continue with my pool exercises. And it's just been the worst year physically for me in my life. And maybe, you know, there's some stress or something going along with that. When the image I have, when I, that comes to mind, physically is my back and hip. So anyway, and the other thing was just the lack of connection. I'm a singer and I'm in four choirs and a band, and, not to be able to sing live with people has been a real jolt. And what's come out of that is the ability to learn some new tools and ways of connecting with people. And I've been on a ton of Zoom calls since then and reconnected with some old friends and really getting the importance it is of being connected with people. And with all the things being shut down, not connecting on a personal level rather than because of a role that I'm in and the other person is in. So I feel like I've gotten a lot closer to a number of people in my life.
Nice, thanks. And Kent, you wanted to share?
Yeah, I guess for me, you know, like in a lot of ways, I didn't have a super hard experience of the pandemic, and that financially I was okay, and like nobody really close to me got sick and nobody that I know died, I don't think. But I guess the really hard thing for me partly was that 2018 and 2019 were both already super, super hard years for me. And so kind of towards the end of 2019, I was like, all I want from 2020 is just like normality and no chaos and just, you know, I don't want any big changes. And I just, you know, want to sort of go along day to day. And then actually really early in the year before it became clear how bad the pandemic was going to be, I was like, well, you know, my lease is up in August. When it gets to the end of the summer, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to spend a year traveling around the world. And so obviously that didn't happen. So kind of just, I think the biggest thing for me was that the fact that 2020 was just another really hard year added on to the end of these other two hard years. So it was just kind of feeling like, you know, one bad thing happens and another bad thing happens. Yeah, that was probably and just sort of the isolation and lack of freedom and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. It's kind of like being in a long marathon and not knowing when it's going to end. Mm-hmm. Dara, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I lost three friends to COVID, and my mentor spent 7 weeks in the hospital until he managed to recover. So it's been a challenge there. But the thing I really want to share is the joy of how this the sort of pseudo isolation combined with Zoom has really brought us a lot closer, my wife and I, to our grandchildren who are in California. So we never got a chance to see them much. They're 8 years old. And they're, of course, being homeschooled by our daughter. My wife has been sharing that. So she teaches the morning classes. Mimi teaches the morning classes and Mom teaches the afternoon classes. And they've just gotten very, very close between the kids and my wife. And I've done a couple of guest lectures too. So that's also been fun, but it's just been great to watch the interactions with the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's amazing to see how the innovative adaptive strategies that have come out of this process and also how relationships have changed and grown in ways we didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, great.
I'll mention that my daughter and the two grandchildren have been, when they come to visit us, have been to service a couple of times at UU.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Was there anyone else that wanted to share anything? Rachel, are you motioning?
Norma Miller had her hand up.
Norma, okay.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me join you today. And boy, would I like a link to that video of the COVID, because it touched me so much. The thing I've missed the most during the COVID isolation is the hugs. They call me the hugger. And I want to be safe when I do go back to my church. And we go to lunch after church here in Chicago at the church I found. And which is a wonderful thing. But Zoom has made such a big difference in my life. I've been doing 2 exercise classes a day with Senior Fitness here in Chicago, and I feel better than I have in years, better than when I was in my 20s. And singing along with Mary and that and your group there with the sing-alongs has been wonderful. And there's a Salt Lake City one I got connected to with my friend in Salt Lake City. I mean, that we can connect across the country and across the world. There's people from Canada and Great Britain in that one. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to connect like that. And I hope we can still do that. Because here I am, I got to be connected with you all. And so Zoom has been a blessing during this time, definitely a blessing for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing.
Norma, I just sent you the video, the link to the video in chat.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, something that happened was kind of like a sandwich between, you know, the election and everything going on, and then sandwiched with COVID. We were in an area where a big apartment complex, and me and my other half, me and her, had an opportunity to go to a smaller area. And we spent quite a bit of time there where it was safer. It felt more comfortable, especially with the unknowns through the beginning of all this and stuff. And I was really exposed to belief systems that I don't believe in. I mean, I guess I'll just be blunt. Where we were, there was pickup trucks with Confederate flags and all this going on right during all that. And so for me, COVID really divided my friends. There was a division. Because I've always been a person where I just like people. It doesn't matter. But, you know, things got divided. I started getting text messages about my friends frantically trying to convince me that it's not any worse than the flu. All that kind of stuff was piling into my phone on certain sides and where we were staying. And I really had to make some big decisions. And I really learned from this whole thing, kind of more who I am, kind of more the type of community I want to be in, as well as I really love Melody Beattie's book, The Language of Letting Go, because it tells you it's okay to let go of things that are affecting your inner peace, and you can do it in love. So I had to let go of people in my life and move on in a different direction. It wasn't easy. So I guess in a nutshell, this was really a learning experience of my values, who I am, and who I want to be around with, and the community and the people I want to be around with that will be uplifting with me and kind of have maybe the same kind of connection as far as values and things.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Christine, I think we have to wrap up discussion.
Yep. I was just about to note that. So we're going to allow this conversation to continue if you want in your after service So feel free to continue that. If you want to save the questions, they're in the chat. If you want to copy those to have for your own reflection later, go ahead and do that. Before I read the closing, I also want to share that the song that is going to be played at the end for the closing song is a recording of the Denver UU Choir doing a song called Breathing Meditation. And it was written by, excuse me, Sarah Dan Jones initially after 9/11 happened. And so it was really about just being very present, and it's a very beautiful recording. So I hope you enjoy that at the end. So as we close, may this chalice flame continue to illuminate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. May you find wisdom in joy and sorrow. May you experience self-compassion and inner peace. May you feel connected and supported. And may you expand the circle of love in your life. You go ahead and play the song.